welcome to Inside the Huddle. Sam Wirt alongside Kyle Etherington, who's back in the studio after taking a nice week off. You happy to be back?
I would like to send a wonderful, blessed shout out to one of my many angels, Dr. Diana Andrews. She was able to help me get my medicines all figured out, and unfortunately, I'm feeling better, and my students were very upset about that, too, I'm sure. So, very glad to be back and joining you, but hats off to Cindy and Mel for doing a wonderful job. I think Cindy got the football bug. I think it bit her.
Oh, yeah. I agree, definitely. Well, let's jump right into our show today. We're going to have a couple of girls basketball coaches on today, and we're going to recap the week in girls basketball and what's coming up for the rest of next week. But let's jump into our guest. We've got head coach Cale Morris on the line from Clinton Prairie. Coach, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Good to see you.
Good to see you too, Coach. We got a chance to come out and watch you guys for our Hoosier Law TV Game of the Week on Thursday in a 53-43 win against Southmont. What did you think of your team's performance in that game?
Honestly, I thought it was a pretty rough game. I mean, our first half, we did not do much of what we planned and what we worked on. But as we saw in our first game of the year, I got a gritty group that is willing to grind out some tough wins down the stretch. So that's our second time this year that we've had to grind one out in the fourth quarter. So I'm proud of our group on that aspect, but we need to work on, you know, building to a better lead heading into the fourth going forward.
Yeah, talking about that win early in the season against Fountain Central, a good Fountain Central team, where you won 30-28, were able to grind out that win. And then on Tuesday, ran into a really good big school McCutcheon team and lost 66-24. What did you see from your squad in that game against McCutcheon?
I saw, you know, a lot of our bad habits that we have that we can sometimes get away with against some smaller teams. They really just get thrown in your face when you go against a team that size. I mean, credit to McCutcheon. Their press was really good. They're just a long, athletic team that has a lot of experience under their belt. So it's just, I mean, it's kind of an eye-opener for some of our girls just to get used to, hey, what I'm doing right now isn't always going to work. So hopefully they can build off that and, you know, take it over to those other games to where if you get better at it, our team just gets that much better going against teams our size.
This is your third year now with Clinton Prairie. Do you finally feel like you're settling in as a high school coach?
Some days yes, some days no. That's just there's always something new that's going to pop up, so you just got to roll with the flow and do the best you can.
And Coach, one thing that Sam and I were talking about off air was your playing days at Franklin College and everything like that. Not to take too much of the spotlight away from your players or anything, but I don't freak out or anything, but I've got your stats pulled up right here. And 41% lifetime three-point career average. Kind of talk about what you learned at Franklin College and how you were able to bring that to not only your youth program, but also your high school players as well.
I would say most of it is just being able to see the amount of different offenses and defenses that you go against from all these other high-level coaches, playing under one. You get to see a lot of different ways to approach the game, and I would say that's the biggest impact. I mean, everyone at that level is there for a reason, so you get to see where all the work ethic paid off. But I think the most interesting part that translates to coaching is just, you know, how many different ways you're able to see how teams were willing to play to try and beat you any given night. So you got to take that into consideration and, you know, recognize that you do have to adapt to who's on your team. You got to change your play style based on who you have. And I saw that night in, night out in college, which I think is a very good benefit to have in coaching.
And I think one thing in particular that is most impressive is career free throw percentage, 89.3%. couple of things. Number one, why didn't you get up to 90? That's the non-serious question. But number two, how have you been able to instill that in your players? Because I was very impressed, not just in your players' ability to get to the line in the game that we had on Thursday, but also their ability to convert the and one and to knock those free throws down, especially in key moments in the game. How, kind of talk a little bit about how you've been able to instill some of those values of free throws into your players.
Well, first off, I never even knew it was 89%. The only one I remember is the year I went like 66 to 67, so I'll just stick with that one.
There you go.
98.4, Coach. I think that was your junior year, man. Sorry. We got you scouted.
Yeah, I'll take that one. No, but, I mean, free throws are always a big part of the game, especially the way the rules have changed with, you know, getting to the double bonus after five fouls. So just preaching to the kids, make sure you stay aggressive, you're strong with the ball, because if you can get to the free throw line, it's no longer a chance of a turnover with the front end of a one-on-one. So, I mean, you're always getting two shots. So just shooting them every single day, having a goal of a certain amount of makes each day. But it's all repetition. So we always have girls staying after, shooting free throws after practice. Just because they know it matters and it wins games. And it proved it last night. I mean, if we were not hitting at the end of the game, you know, that's playing out a lot different in that fourth quarter.
And how has that kind of made you have to adjust your, at least not your offensive scheme, but kind of your offensive philosophy with that new rule? Has that changed any type of possible strategy that you might have used this year versus 5 years ago? Or kind of talk about that, because it's a rule that a lot of people, I think, are still starting to understand, and it's a rule that is still being debated amongst basketball fans across the state.
I don't think it's changed the philosophy. I think it's just emphasized how important it is to be strong around the rim. Where we were getting to kind of the Euro step age where everyone's, you know, finding a way to avoid contact, I mean, you just got to take it back to the simplicities of jump stop in the lane, go off 2 feet, and, you know, put your shoulder through the defender. That way you're getting that contact and you're getting to the line. And it's the same way up top. You know, instead of trying to dribble around people, you attack that front hip and you make them open up, or they're going to make that contact and you're just going to get to the free throw line quicker. So understanding how beneficial getting to that line each quarter is, I think in the long run helps you win games, because, you know, it does, it makes a big difference. Those are easy shots, especially if you get to practicing them a lot.
Hey, Coach, let's talk about some of your players. Looking at your roster, quite a few players are ones that played on the volleyball team this year. Talk about the transition from getting players from volleyball mindset to basketball mindset and volleyball conditioning level to basketball conditioning level. What was that process like, getting them transitioned over really quickly, because volleyball season ended a couple of weeks ago and now you're already in the midst of basketball season?
Yeah, honestly, I think the setup that the state has is very unfair to girls athletics. Our kids played a sectional championship game for volleyball on Saturday night, and then they're told basketball season starts that Monday. So I do think there needs to be a change to give the kids some type of break so that they can, you know, get mentally and physically prepared for another season. But, you know, our volleyball coach did a good job of keeping them in shape, and, you know, they were ready to roll once they hit the court. But we did have to take a couple extra days off, just, you know, stay away from the gym for a few days, reset, get ready, and we'll hit the ground running.
And kind of along the same lines of that schedule, the girls' basketball schedule sometimes can be a grind, and even in November, it kind of rivals most NBA schedules. How as a coach, do you find a balance between that with having multiple games in a week? Because as we see your upcoming schedule, this is your third game in about the last 5 days this evening. So how do you guys kind of find that balance, and what are some things that you guys do to, you know, kind of keep everybody fresh, fresh legs, fresh mind, things like that?
Well, you have to make sure that you build in rest somehow. So, you know, like yesterday, we took the first hour of practice and we were in my classroom watching film and learning from what mistakes we made the night before. But once we're on the court, I always preach to them is, you know, you work hard, you get as much in as short amount of time as possible, then you're not going to be as tired. So if we get on the court and we have the right mindset and we can take off and get everything we need to get done quickly, and we can go home quicker, get some more rest. So, you know, it just takes some buy-in from the players to make sure that we're getting what we need done. And then you can go home quicker, get some more rest. And they're doing a good job of that. Some days are obviously better than others, but it is tough. I mean, 3 games in 6 days, and we were supposed to have one next Tuesday as well, so it would have been an even tougher schedule.
Our guest on the line is head coach Cale Morris of the Clinton Prairie girls basketball team. And, Coach, we talked a little bit about the Southmont game that was on Hoosierland TV. For anyone wanting to watch that game, you can watch it archived on HoosierlandTV.com. Clinton Prairie got the win over Southmont 53-43. And you talked about kind of a slow start. At one point, I think it was early in the second quarter, your team was down by 11, 16-5, got a little bit of a slow start in that second quarter especially. What was the message to your team to kind of lock back in after that? Because then they were able to go on a run and get it to a two-point ball game before half, and that really kept you guys in the game, because it looked like for a second with the press, Southmont was turning you guys over a little bit. You were speeding you guys up a little bit. It might get away from you guys quickly. So what was the message to the squad to lock back in and get back into that ball game?
I think the first thing I told them is to wake up. We're playing a game. but after that, you know, we do have a tendency sometimes we get a little excited and we rush into things with the press. And I always repeat it every single time is, you know, the best way to beat the press is just to slow yourself down and make the smart play. So eventually we got to that point where instead of taking off dribbling, we were finding the cutter in the middle or on the sideline, and it just opened things up. And once they see it being successful, then they're more likely to, like, oh, coaches are right. Like, let's just do this, and it's a lot easier. So it just took getting a little settled down. I think part of that was just a realization from what happened on Tuesday with McCutcheon, so they were still a little freaked out. But once we got settled in, we were fine.
And, Coach, we were talking a lot about Ella Berry, the freshman for Southmont, who came in averaging 20 points per game. She had 15 in the first half, but then you guys were able to kind of shut her down in the second half where she wasn't able to do everything she wanted to do. Was that a kind of a coaching adjustment at halftime, or what did you guys talk about?
No, everything she was scoring in the first half was – transition or us making dumb passes against the press. So once we started settling down and making the right play, what she thrives at kind of went away. You know, in the half court, I don't think she's as strong just because she's extremely good with an open court. When she gets the ball in transition, she's going to score. So controlling the tempo and making sure we're not having live ball turnovers was kind of that big tipping point to slow her down.
And Coach, I was really impressed by a couple of your players, Abby Swan and Hailey Wilson, in that game. Swan, especially in the second half, kind of calming your team down. It looked like when you guys needed a bucket, you were able to go to her, and she was able to make somebody miss and was able to get in there and score. And then Hailey Wilson had a stretch, I think, in the fourth quarter where she scored like 7 points in a row for you guys and kind of was able to put the game away. What have you seen from those two of your seniors that have really had to step up this season?
Just being the calm presence on the court is going to be the big thing. You know, we're behind them. We got a lot of young players. I mean, at the end of the game, we had 2 freshmen on the court. So we just got to make sure that they're the one that are kind of the calming presence. Hailey scores were just big time defensive plays, getting a steal, finishing some tough and ones. And then Abby, a lot of her points were coming from just fighting on the glass. So, just doing those small things that really, you know, switch the momentum up for the team is huge for us, just because it not only gets them going, but it kind of drags everyone else along with them.
And, Coach, one thing I really liked especially is how Abby Swan exploited her mismatch with a taller player. She was able to, especially toward the end of the game, she was able to kind of pull it back out and then kind of get the tall person who had been blocking quite a bit of shots throughout the game. She's able to take her out of her comfort zone. But you alluded to this a little bit earlier about how you got a lot of young players, and myself last year going against them in the 8th grade county tournament finals, that was a game and a half. We spent a year at Clinton Prairie that afternoon because it was such a competitive game. Talk about the improvements that you've seen in those kids from 8th grade to high school, because as you know, and as a lot of coaches know, 8th grade to varsity basketball, that's a heck of a leap for any player.
Yeah, it's it helps that they're just tough-nosed kids anyway. It's kind of the first day of practice. You expect freshmen to kind of be hiding in the background, and, you know, they're some of the loudest players on the court. So I think from day one they were ready to roll, and they knew they needed to step up in some way. So them getting the chance early and going out and proving that they belong on the court has been a big help. Obviously, there's going to be some things are going to happen in the season where it's, hey, that looks like a typical fresh move. But, they're making some strong plays. I know Lennon had some big offensive rebounds and some layups down the stretch. Perez did a great job handling the ball up front, especially towards the end of the game, and just, you know, not making mistakes. So, you know, those are some junior, senior-level plays that are coming out of a freshman. So I think the longer the season goes, the less and less they'll be making some of those mistakes, and they'll truly feel like they belong on the court.
Well, in the fourth quarter, Lennon especially, she was able to see the opening. She cut right to the ball, caught it, and went right up with it. That's a play that you have trouble just getting a senior to do in everything. But with these kids being as the loudest in the gym, how much of that has been them participating in the Clinton Prairie Youth League every Sunday? Because I think that's something that a lot of people don't know about, that this has been going on for many years, and there are some games that rival any of the best Saturday college basketball games as far as the intensity is concerned. I mean, and I'm not just talking about my own experiences with that, because it's a lot of fun. Talk about that, because I don't think people really realize how big of a job this is for a varsity coach, especially if you're not only wanting to get your own program off the ground, but wanting to grow the game of women's basketball in general.
Yeah, I mean, first off, we're lucky to have phenomenal facilities to be able to host something like that. But it's perfect for our kids because it's at home. They're getting a chance to see where they're at before the season starts. Because we get a lot of questions like, hey, are you guys doing this again in January? And, you know, our kids are going into a regular season, 5th through 8th grade. So this is kind of just that pre-test, just seeing where you are, what you need to work on before your season starts. But we do bring in a lot of good competition. I mean, we're from as far up as Benton Central, and then we got teams coming from Sheridan as well. So, I mean, we're stretching a pretty long distance. So it's just a great chance for them to learn, a great chance for them to play together and grow together, and kind of get that mindset switch from volleyball to basketball before their regular season even starts.
And Coach, before we wrap things up, let's talk about the game tonight against Benton Central. You travel for the first time this season. Your first three games were at home. Now you hit the road to take on Benton Central at 7:30 tonight. What do you look at when you see Benton Central, and what is it going to take to win this game?
Well, it's tough to know too much. I mean, they just played their first game yesterday. But, you know, things in the past, the way he likes to play, we got to be ready for the press. We got to make sure that we're ready to handle the ball. But, you know, you got to take it on his head and be ready to show up, be physical, and, you know, attack from the get-go. And it's a tough turnaround going from a game Thursday night that was real physical and took a lot out of the kids to stepping up, ready to travel on a Saturday night. So I think our kids are going to be ready, which is, you know, we're going to have our walkthrough, go over some of the stuff we saw from Benton Central last night, and, you know, be ready to roll at 7 o'clock.
Well, that was head coach Cale Morris of the Clinton Prairie girls basketball team. Coach, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We'll be back with quarter number two of Inside the Huddle in just a little bit. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Winsky Brothers.
If you're from Clinton County, you probably already know about Winski Brothers' incredible customer service. But Winski's is also eager to serve Lebanon, Tipton, Lafayette, and beyond. Winski Brothers offers industrial hauling and waste removal, roll-offs, and new and used steel sales. And with Winski's recent improvements, dropping off metal for recycling is easier than ever and puts more dollars back in your wallet. Winski Brothers, the easy solution for industrial waste removal and metal recycling. Visit WinskiBrothers.com or find them on Facebook.
Ag News, the Farmer Forum, the Free For All, and a lot more. Hi, everyone. I'm AgriTalk host Chip Flory. Join me each weekday morning at 11 right here on WILO for a conversation dedicated to rural America and agriculture. AgriTalk brings you the news, information, and perspectives you need to get to the meat of the issues that matter the most to your farm. Join me for AgriTalk weekdays at 11 on your Ag Leader in North Central Indiana, WILO.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one resource for information as you need it, right at your fingertips. We have news, weather, sports, obituaries, the WILO program schedule, over 40,000 community photos, online surveys, community events, and HoosierLandTV.com archives. Plus, click on the info tab to find out how you can contact your local and state representatives. Find out what the buzz is all about. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
Back now on Inside the Huddle. Sam Wirt alongside Kyle Etherington. Inside the Huddle is brought to you by Winski Brothers. We want to thank them for their sponsorship of Inside the Huddle. We talked with Kale Morris in the first quarter. Now here in quarter number two, we're going to talk with Clinton Central girls basketball coach Don Helmlich. They've had a few games this week. They had a game last Saturday, a couple of games this week, and then one today. Four games in 8 days, coach. How's your team doing?
We're going through some growing pains. We'll actually have, looking at the schedule, I think after the first week of December, our season will be half over as far as games go. So we've got a lot of games for whatever reason. A lot of our games got moved around a little bit this year, and then we picked up some new teams because of some teams that dropped us, and the only time they could play us was early in the year, so... We're kind of heavy in the beginning of the season, but you know we're getting better. But you know we've got some some growing pains going on and some struggles that when you graduate four kids that are expected. The good thing is we've found ways to win three of the four games. So you know it's better to find out your struggles when you win a game than to find out your struggles and lose. So, you know, there's a little bit of a positive in it, but, you know, the girls are buying in and working hard at practice and, you know, hopefully, in the end it will pay some dividends.
We talked to you last week and you were coming off a win 56-37 against Frontier last Saturday, a win against Southmont 35-24, and then a loss to Fountain Central at Fountain Central 32-26. And then you're fresh off a win last night against Frankfurt, 58-28. We'll start with that game against Frankfurt last night. Just a short trip over to Case Arena. What did you think of your team's performance in that game?
I thought we started off really well. We, I think we had 28 points in the first quarter. That's more than we scored all of the Fountain Central game. We were able to take advantage of our press last night and get some steals and Davison had a good first quarter. She actually had a great game, but she kind of got us going and had some assists and some steals, and you know Hannah Jacobs hit some shots early, so it was more pressure stuff. And you know Abby Harris was homesick and so we were down a starter, so we had Lindsay Wallsmith and she stepped in and had a good game, got us started well, and mostly from the pressure that they were able to put up early.
Coach, kind of talk about the sickness just a little bit, not of individual players or anything, but one thing, and I can kind of attest to this, the flu season is real, the cough is real, and we've seen a lot more kids kind of come down with pneumonia recently as well, at least in my neck of the woods. How exactly do you kind of prepare the kids, not just for making sure that they take care of their bodies, but also making sure that they understand that you could be starting tonight, even if you're not used to that type of a role? How do you get them prepared for that?
I think a lot of it has to go back to how we practice and the rotations we work on at practice. And, you know, even last year when we had, a set solid five, we mixed up the starting lineup quite often. It's something that I've done over the course of my coaching career. So in a sense, you know, a lot of times girls don't even know who's starting until we go into the locker room. Before the game, they'll have an idea based on who was on what team the night before or the few days before. But, I think the big thing for us is the way that we, you know, rotate them in practice and the matchups we do in practice. And then we kind of judge who's going to start and who's not based on, our opponent. But I think it's just in the preparation that each player is getting a lot of time with the so-called starting group.
And speaking of the starting group, coming out of the game against Frankfurt last night, came out in the press, really put them in some very difficult situations. Davison was able to get some steals, get some assists. Kind of talk about her, evolution as a player, because she comes in from eighth grade to freshman year, and she's got all of these veterans around her. Now she's the junior, and all of those players are no longer there. Kind of talk about not just her evolution as a basketball player, but her evolution as kind of a leader, because I think that's very important for any squad.
Well, it's crazy from the standpoint that I've had the opportunity to coach another girl that was real similar to her at Cascade, and her name was Brandis Salee. Brandis went on to play, actually played college softball and started 4 years at Butler. But when Brandis was an eighth grader, similar to Carly, you had the high school girls, you can have them come to practice and practice with you. And I was just amazed with both of those two that, you know, you got seniors in high school that when a Carly come to a practice as an eighth grader, it was like they would stop and listen to her, or they would pick up their level of play, because in one sense it was like they didn't want to let her down, because they knew all the time and effort that she has put into being the player she is, and the time and effort she's going to continue to put in. She sticks around a half hour after practice to shoot. She gets in there early to shoot. She's shooting all summer, and I think they have seen that. So when she came in as a freshman, she was voted as a captain by her teammates. That's not something that I pick. That's something that the kids voted on. Her biggest problem that we've seen the most improvement in is her outside shooting. She's hitting the three a little bit better. Getting to the rim has never been an issue with her, and finishing around the rim has never been an issue. She's strong. She's one of them farm girls that bales hay and does all that during the summer. So she's a strong girl. But the other thing is, you know, her problem in the past, and I'm going to say this, and then she's going to get in foul trouble today, but she's gotten smarter with when to be aggressive, when not to be aggressive, when to go for the steal, when not to go for the steal. You know, last night was a great example. We got through the first half with her not having any fouls, so she can get a little bit more aggressive in the second half. Within 4 minutes, after two or three steals and a couple baskets, she ends up picking three fouls up, I think, in 3.5 minutes. But she's at one time, her freshman year, it was, I'm just going to go hard all the time. And, you know, there was a few games where she had three fouls in the first quarter. We as coaches weren't smart enough to get her out or didn't feel we could get her out. But, you know, that's been the biggest transition that I've seen her make, is the shooting and the ability to just not go out and hammer people from the start.
Well, I think that's a fantastic thing, and we'll think good thoughts about her not getting into too much foul trouble throughout the entire season. But I also love that you brought up a shout-out to Brandi Solis, and I'm not just saying that because my wife went to Butler University or anything. Sam, I got to point this out. She finished her senior year with well over 600 softball average.
Wow.
611 home runs, things like that. But one other thing that I noticed in my research is she was a member of the National Honor Society. How big of an emphasis, well, I'm sure you do, but what type of an emphasis do you put on grades in the classroom? Are you doing daily grade checks? Or are you encouraging them to make sure they get their homework done? Kind of talk about that a little bit, because I think it's one thing to hear from a teacher. It's another thing to hear from a parent, but it's definitely another thing to hear from a coach.
Yeah, we're fortunate. We have 14 girls on the team this year, which is the exact same number as last year, but Emily Long is still out. But we have 14 rostered, and of those 14, 12 of them are all A's and B's. And then we have a couple that I won't say they struggle, but they're not A's and B's. But what I do on the ones that are lower, I'm checking their grades almost every day. I mean, because the way now that you can put grades in as a teacher, that grade can change from day to day. So, you know, we're checking grades every day on the ones that we feel might be struggling a little bit. The rest of them we check weekly. I call them in. I talk to them. A couple of them, you know, when they're flirting with disaster, we sit down, we have a talk, we explain to them, hey, you know, you do this and not make the grades, and now you're not only affecting yourself, but you're affecting your teammates who have put in time and effort for you and you for them. And, you know, we've 2 years ago, we had a few more struggles, and we put in a 30-minute study table every night. Because, like you said, you know, last year, basketball-wise, was a great year for us. We won a lot of games and you know, had some opportunities there at the end to do even bigger things. But, you know, in the end, we don't have too many Division I athletes. We have some that are going to go on and play college ball. But, you know, Sarah Parkinson right now is studying to eventually be an attorney. You know, Erica Robbins is wanting to be a nurse, and they're both in school. And it all starts, you know, in high school and getting those standards set and routine set and knowing the importance of it. So, you know, we just try to stay on them and let them know that, hey, this is 4 years of your life. And after this, unfortunately, things are going to get tougher. And if you don't take advantage of your education now, it's going to be even tougher when you have to pay bills and take care of a family and, you know, balance all those things. So we try to just bring it to life, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Well, one thing in particular, if they are as relentless in their careers as they were on the basketball floor, then we've got some pretty good future professionals out there. And I also like the Molly Hatchett reference with flirting with disaster, because oftentimes as a teacher, I always find that if I input a grade, I know a student's going to come talk to me within 5 minutes of that grade being put into the grade book online. That being said, your expectations as a coach, you've been there a while. Have you ever found any type of moments where you don't have to say anything to the players because they automatically know what you're going to say? Like, they know you're checking grades. They know you're checking, making sure that they're rebounding. How has that worked? Because it's one thing to be a beginning coach, but it's another thing to have those expectations in place.
Well, I mean, it's funny you say that. We had someone a couple weeks ago that they weren't in trouble, but they had not turned in some work. And, you know, once they turned it in, everything was fine. But, you know, so I'm in the elementary school and they're in the high school. So, you know, there's a system there where, you know, I got to get over to the secretary and then we got to make sure it's okay. And then we got to get a pass and then they got to walk over. Well, anyway, so from the time she got to from the high school to me, she apparently had already checked her grades and she came in and she goes, I mean, she walks in the gym. I don't even get to say anything. She goes, I know, coach. I got to get this work turned in. So, you know, and it may very well have been turned in prior to her getting to me because she knew why she was coming to me. But, you know, they know, you know, and it goes back to, you know, the kids know more sometimes than the parents. I mean, just go to playing time, go to practices and things. I mean, you know, they know why they're not playing. And sometimes it's hard for mom and dad or grandma or grandpa to understand it. But if they ask the child and the child or player is honest, they're going to tell you, yeah, you know, I didn't practice all day. I set out of this drill. You know, I'm just not as good as this person right now. You know, but sometimes we want to jump straight to in grade situation to the teacher and playing situation to the coach. Whereas, you know, let's go to the source first. And then go ahead and progress if we need to.
Well, Coach, you have another game today against Providence Cristo Rey coming up at 1 o'clock. As you start to prepare for that one, what do you see in that team, and what do you guys – what's the message to the squad? Third game this week and staying locked in and keeping fresh legs and making sure everyone's ready for this game.
Well, we absolutely know nothing about them. You know, and it's a charter school, so, you know, in a sense, they're somewhat like some of the privates where you just, you don't know which IPS kid is going to transfer over the summer or whatever. You know, based on last year's scores, they're down. We're still going to be without Harris. We're just using these games right now, honestly, to kind of get more well-rounded. We got to work on other kids having confidence in shooting. We got to work on cutting our turnovers down, and we're going to use these games for that. Emily Long will potentially be allowed to start practicing on Monday, and then there's still another 2 to 3 week gap before she could even consider playing again. You know, with Harris still out, it's given some other kids opportunities. So our hope is, you know, you never want a kid out like Long and you never want Harris missing, but our hope is that this is giving these other kids enough experience and playing time that, you know, once we have Harris back, once we get Long released, we'll just be even that much better and deeper. So that's kind of what we're trying to do with these games. And then, you know, then next Friday we have our first conference game.
Speaking of that game will be on Hoosierland TV. It's Carroll coming to Clinton Central on 7:30 of Friday. Obviously, we've got a couple of games before that game. Just quick thoughts as we start to get towards conference season on that game.
They're really, really good. They're scoring a lot of points. You know, they're running an aggressive half court to full court at times press, and against Sheridan they ran a box and one. So we're expecting to see something like that with them on Davison. So, you know, we're gonna focus on that, and you know, we're gonna see where we're at. I mean, it's a good beginning of the year game. You know, they lost a lot last year to graduation. We lost a lot, and we'll see who has rebounded the best so far.
Well, that's head coach Don Helmlich with the Clinton Central girls basketball team. They've got a game today against Providence Cristo Rey coming up, but they've got some good games coming up. This week, again, we'll have Hoosierland TV will be there for the Carroll versus Clinton Central game next Friday. Coach, I want to thank you again for calling in.
All right, thank you.
We'll be back with a quarter number three of Inside the Huddle, where we recap the week and preview the upcoming week here in girls basketball. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Winsky Brothers.